Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Lunch and Learn. On behalf of the AAU Research Center, we want to thank you for attending today's presentation. Upcoming presentations. On Wednesday, February 8th, 2006, Margaret Kuhl, Karen Stauffer, and Dr. Mohammed Ali is presenting Mobile Learning, Theory and Practice. On February 22nd, 2006, Kay Johnson and Elaine Magusin are presenting Digital Libraries, Finding Your Way in the Electronic Labyrinth. Our FOIP announcement. According to FOIP regulations, we must inform you that today's Lunch and Learn presentation is being recorded. The purpose of recording is to allow people who are unable to attend today's session to view the proceedings. The recordings are available via Illuminate. It is now my pleasure to introduce today's speakers, Trevor Gilbert and Billy Chung.
Thanks, Shirley. Hello, all. Thanks for joining us, to those in the room here and to those in Illuminate land. If you can hear me okay, if you're online, why don't you give me the old happy face, if you don't mind? I just like seeing that. Well, Billy and I are excited to show you some of the work that we've been working pretty hard with over the last few years. Now, our goal has been to develop tools to help students learn, bottom line. And in our case, you've probably have seen the title. If not, hopefully you can all see the PowerPoint first slide here. Using online interactive tutorials in teaching psychology and neuroscience. So I'm not going to bore you too much with the content, unless, of course, you would like me to. But the goal here is to show you, again, the tools that we've been using. Flash technology is one of the main things, just so we can enhance student learning from an individualized learning perspective, for sure. Now, an overview. As we all know here, and hopefully out there, that Athabasca University specializes in distance and online learning. Now, such learning permits flexibility of access at any time and, of course, from anywhere. But the important thing in here are the educational materials in particular. In such an environment, the educational materials must promote student learning, or they must engage the student and promote learning. Now, the challenge is science in particular. So the science and neuroscience in this case, teaching science has always been a challenging task in all levels of education, even considering the classroom, and especially so when we're talking about distance learning or individualized learning. Now, so our interest in particular is to teach or to supplement psychology and neuroscience, for sure. So even though while our learners have access, of course, to profs and tutors through the phone, email, sometimes video, if they're fortunate enough to have that, our students and science students have still difficulty grasping certain fundamental concepts and processes. In particular, so in our case, we're talking biological, physiological, and a bit of neurochemistry thrown in there as well. So we can do whatever we can to help them learn these crucial concepts, to help them get through the course successfully. So this presentation will highlight our recent advancements in doing such things. So we're going to present here, or hopefully demonstrate to you, a unique learning environment for students, one in which they can interactively explore fundamental concepts in our areas, and through the use of online interactive tutorials. Some of these are static images that they can match and do self-tests, and some of these other interactive tutorials include neuroanimations in which they can have some control over the processes that they want to get at, what they want to learn about. Now, this will be presented in the framework of the importance of technology, such application and the importance of instructional design. Now, hopefully, you'll be able to see the application of this across, or at least most disciplines anyway, not just the ones that we're going to be talking about today. So I'm going to be demonstrating the content and the practical use of the tutorials from the students' perspective and hopefully what they can learn. And Billy over here is going to be giving a behind-the-scenes look at some instructional design issues, the use of Flash, how user-friendly it is, perhaps, and what other questions you may have for Billy. Now, hopefully you can see the slide up here. This is just to give you an overview of the language that we're using. So I'm going to share a web page in which we're going to explore some of these tutorials and such. And you'll be able to view them at from wherever you are. But again, just to show you some of the language in case you get lost in what I'm talking about here. So our advanced biological psychology tutorials are structured into two sections here. So you can see the bio tutorials. The bio tutorials here, and these are in fact image mapped tutorials, as it states right here. The student has the option to click on certain structures, label them, or not label them, and then do some self-tests afterwards. You can see matching self-tests, multiple choice self-tests, etc. And then the other part are what are referred to as the neuroanimations, and yes, you can guess that these are the interactive animated tutorials themselves. These have been created with Flash technology. Are there any questions so far out there in the Illuminate world?
Before we go on, when we are sharing the applications, we can't take any questions.
Right. Okay, good. Bob had a question. Go ahead, please.
Sorry, I was just smiling to say I had no questions.
Oh, that happy face keeps me going. Thank you. So once you'll be able to once I put on the web page here, and we're in fact out there manipulating our animations and such, you won't, or I probably will not be able to see any questions out there. So you'll save them, jot them down if something crucial comes up. So I'm just click this here then. Excellent. This one here?
Well, let me check.
Yeah, okay.
Mike, are you seeing the webpage?
Okay,
yes.
Excellent. So you should be seeing a page, Psych 402, which is biological psychology, and the web page there entitled the Advanced Biological Psychology Tutorials. Now, I should note for those at home in their home offices or wherever, can manipulate at least somewhat the screen and the sizing and things like that. So you can adjust accordingly, play around with your mouse if you so desire. Now, just to give you a little introduction to the tutorials themselves now that we're here, this is what the student sees here. So they're structured, just as I mentioned, into our bio tutorials, the image mapped and the animations themselves. So the whole goal here is to supplement what the students get in the text, what they're conversing with the tutors and the profs over the phone and through email, etc. So you can click the text here, or in fact click these boxes, these images down below. We're going to explore the bio tutorials first off here. Now, most of these were developed quite some time ago from Sandra Nagel and with the assistance of Lyle Brandt when it comes to instructional design. So most of these tutorials, and hopefully you're able to see a long list. I'm just going slow here. We have 38 of these particular tutorials, and but they all share a similar format. So you can see the first couple, for example, you have the internal structure of a neuron. Well, bottom line is students need to know that. They want to continue on. They have to know what a neuron is and what it can do, forming the building blocks, again, to be successful in the course. So you can see a part one image map tutorial, part two a matching self-test, and a part three multiple choice self-test. So if we go on to the first one here, seems logical to start at number one. Here we have a static diagram of a neuron. We have the outside components, and we have the inside components too. The student right away has the option to remove the labels, and that becomes obviously more self-evident when they want to test themselves. So they'll go through the information and again test themselves later, see what kind of score they have. Obviously, it's a great thing when it comes time to practice for the final exam. Now, each tutorial starts off with an introduction. So, I'm not going to read everything to you, of course not here, but for example, the internal features of a typical neuron are similar to those of all eukaryotic cells. So, it gives you the introduction. It provides some advanced information. The student has some questions, or if they're doing their research paper or a particular assignment, they have a bit of advanced information, and they have some references and suggested readings down below there. So some will have more than others, and there's almost forgot the links there, and we have certain links too related to that particular tutorial. If we go to the image itself, well, the first one up here, the plasma membrane. Well, if the learner selects on that, hopefully the definition, a description comes up. And there you have it. The plasma membrane, formerly known as the cell membrane, not necessarily formally known as, it's the same as, but it just gives you an introductory information. And it goes on to more advanced information, same as what we were talking about before. Mitochondria, the powerhouse, providing the cell, the energy and such. The cytoplasm, etc., etc. So basic information, they can go through all the definitions and such. When when the student's comfortable with the material, of course they want to see how good they are with it. So then go to a self-matching test here. And you can see that the default right away is for the lines to come up without the labels themselves. So what is label A? Well, I bet you it is the plasma membrane. But let's try what happens when we pick the microtubules. Well, incorrect. You get automatic feedback. It's quite important to get automatic feedback for the student, for sure. So they can go down the list. Hopefully they're not just going sporadically down the list. Okay, what's the next one? It's going to be the new quiz. No. Okay, I'm a loser. The Golgi complex? No. Well, the idea, hopefully they're going to get some feedback, and of course they can go back to the introductory information or the advanced information and such. The last one, H. What is H? Well, I'm guessing it's the microtubules. Good. I got that correct. Excellent. So that's the matching. And in this particular course, and this is, we're showing the examples in this particular course. Now it applies to some other courses of mine as well, but this is just the main one here that I'm showing. Students, the labeling of the neuroanatomy, the neurophysiology, these types of things, it's crucial in the course. So the students have to become familiar with such things. So it really helps them out. Looking at the textbook is one thing, and coming to a website and supporting their learning, getting feedback is another. So now they can do a multiple choice test here as well. So we have microtubules R. Well, we can read down the list. Hopefully we know what the answer is. They all look pretty good. If we start with the first one, we all hate that dreaded sound, don't we? We've blown up something. It tells you immediately, incorrect. Although the statement is correct, a better alternative is provided, right? Student's nightmare. Well, a better alternative, okay. Well, it is right, but all right, let's go on. So the C, same idea. In this case, it happens to be they all are correct, and it gives you a brief explanation of why they're correct. Yes, microtubules are made of filamentous strands, etc., etc. So there is a better answer, and there's some explanation, and again, that crucial part of immediate feedback for the student there. So it's out of 10. We're not going to go through every one, of course. I'd like to show you all of them, but that's not appropriate. Energy for the cellular activity is produced within the neurons. Well, excellent. Look at that. Got that correct. So I think you can hopefully get the idea here. And of course, at any time, if we're in the middle of a test, the student doesn't know, they can go back to the appropriate component and figure that out. Oh yes, here we are back here. Ribosomes, all right, involved in the production of proteins. Excellent. Okay. Well, actually, I should get back to, there we go. Thanks, Billy. So we're back at the bio tutorial page. Again, these are the static images. So these can be quite involved. Again, we just went through the internal structure of the neuron one. Of course, if we are talking about anatomy, we must know parts of the brain, right? Rather than just the neuron itself. So we can see the internal component of the brain. Coronal and ventral views coming up next. So it's the same idea here. Students can go through a bunch of different labels and definitions. Now these go well beyond, not necessarily, but they go beyond the textbook. The information is there if the student wants it. So we have the introduction. We have the more advanced information. Again, that's there provided for a reason, to help the students explore research paper ideas and things like that. So some are quite complex. Others are quite basic. The visual system. Some of you might remember that from biology or whenever you took that. Oh my goodness, what crosses where, and where does the information go in the brain, and what's the first stop, et cetera, et cetera. Well, again, that's why these tutorials are there. Let me, if I want to ask questions, I have to stop, or can I just go here?
Go back to here.
This one?
Yes.
Any questions in the room or out there so far? So kind of part one of the of these tutorials. Yeah.
Do you create these, or are these created by papers created elsewhere, or other?
For those that didn't hear the question, it was about did I create them, or were these created previously? Most of these were in fact created before I came, by Sandra Nagel and with the assistance of Lyle Grant, and from the instructional design point of view. So what we've done is we've gone the next part. We can maybe show more interactivity with the students. So that's where I'm going to demonstrate some of the neural animations.
I just have a quick question. Does the textbook for this course come with a CD-ROM as well? With anything like this?
Yeah, typically
people are seeing black skin right now. So
thanks, Bill. There was another question in the room here. Does the textbook for the course come with the CD-ROM? Good question. If you are an author and you are a behavioral neuroscientist, you will not sell the textbook unless you put out some sort of CD-ROM, for sure. So yeah, typically these do come out with CD-ROMs. And so the question remains, do these go beyond what a typical CD-ROM would offer? And the answer is yes and no. So there's just a gamut of variation of what's out there. A lot of them make QuickTime movies, and Billy can probably describe these types of things. So they're good, and they show the necessary process concepts and things like that. But what we really want to add is the interactivity with the student. So they can actually go in there, click some buttons, and demonstrate themselves kind of what's going on. Thank you. Let's stop this.
Go back to here and stop it.
Cheryl, did you have a question out there?
In the chat box? The question is in the chat box, Trevor.
Thank you. I was talking, and but I forgot to press the talk button. So, what kind of feedback? Generally, good feedback. I want more feedback. Definitely, we're doing our best to get some actual data, and that's ongoing. So hopefully that answers your question there. Any other questions? Okay, so we're back at the Advanced Biological Psychology tutorials. So we're going to go into the part two of the demonstration here. So as you can hopefully see, it says click here to view the neuroanimations. So hopefully this will work. So it goes on, it goes into an introductory page. Hopefully you can see that. So from here, you'll be able to explore, tells the students what they can expect here, some neurobiological simulations through interactive menus. So they basically just go in and explore. Simple as that. And it, further down in this particular paragraph, generally for more detailed information, it basically directs the students to the bio tutorials, where there's more advanced information and such like that. So here's a picture of a neuron. If you weren't sure, there you have it. Now just a bit, this particular neuron is firing an action potential. Hopefully you can see that on the left-hand side. This just happens to be the cell body. We're only showing this without any other neurons communicating with it, just the end product here. So first off, it gives an introductory statement about a neuron. And it does use it, or does give the information in different language in which they're going to find from the bio tutorials, and generally different from the textbook. So if we go to this menu, and by the way, I probably didn't mention, but Billy labeled something on the whiteboard earlier, that these may be a little choppy, a little bit slow for those on Illuminate. That is certainly the case. It's not too bad, but trust me, it's a little smoother than that if you're here in the room. So I won't go too fast, hopefully. So the student can label or take away the labels. Dendrites, they select on that. A box comes up or a highlight, the soma, etc. So dendrites are branches of neurons that collect information. Pretty straightforward. Going through all these, you know, the major functions of the neuron, and then there's a guide to direct the student. back to those bio tutorials, wherever they would like to get more information in particular there. We can zoom this up. So now we're dealing with some more the finer details of a neuron. So now we have the nodes of Ranvier, the axon, it's labeling where the axon is, the myelin sheath. We can actually fire an action potential. Now I think for those in their offices abroad there, we'll see the green part. That happens to be a voltmeter. It's just an electrical recording of what the action potential looks like. That will be quite choppy. So my apologies for that. Again, Billy put on the website, I think, right? If you wanted to go to it and see it smoother with your normal connection, by all means do that. So again, this is an action potential. You can see that it's coming right here. All it is a neurochemical, biochemical signal. It's the information within a neuron. That's all it is. We're not getting into all the details here, but it shows you both what's happening and in the different cases, the different labelings of when the axon, or sorry, when the action potential is coming, when it's at its peak, as you can see, right? We have threshold reaching its peak here, and as it leaves, essentially. So we can pause that. Right here. And then we can go back to our previous menu. Go back to the main menu here. And we just looked at that. So we have our labels and definitions, the action potential. We can build upon the knowledge here that we've learned. We can go into more electrical properties of neurons. And right away, if a student is taking this course, they don't have any biology background, chemistry background, they can be overwhelmed, bottom line. The toughest part is early on. What do you mean electrical properties and action potentials and all these things? So these are, the fundamental, I keep stressing this, but it's the fundamental concepts that the student has to learn to take them into the further stages of the course, per se. So the resting potential, basically, it's what a neuron, the electrical properties of a neuron when it's not doing anything. There's always activity, but it's when it's at rest, for example. So it gives you what the resting potential is, and it throws out sodium, potassium, chloride, and all these things. Again, I'm not going to go through all those exact details by any means. If we label it, so as you can see, it's a good idea that the student has the option to label or not, because it can be pretty overwhelming seeing all that text there. So they want to see something in particular, sodium ion, right here. So on the outside, in the extracellular space, as it happens to be called. So it tells you in the first paragraph, and hopefully you can see this, sodium is attracted to the inside of neurons at rest by two forces. So it goes on to give you this explanation of what's happening. And again, for all the other ions. So of course these ions are crucial for the normal functioning of our nervous system, definitely. Now we can break the resting potential down from a knowledge point of view, is what I'm referring to, by going through the steps. So we have a step-by-step process here of what's happening. So it's talking about the actions of the of the ions at different stages, different steps of the resting potential per se. So at resting state, sodium, positively charged, attracted by the electrical force, blah, 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 right? Sounds good. So this is a sodium channel. If we go on to the next step, it's talking about potassium. Okay, so potassium charge. We go on to a third step. It's talking about the lesser explained or the lesser described components of the resting potential, other negatively charged proteins. Of chloride, again, another ion. Then it just tells you, gives you an overall. So we have all these ions, the sodium, the potassium, chloride, and some other negatively charged ions. There's a reason for it, depending upon how much of them are the inside a cell or the outside a cell. So this happens to be an axon, and this is inside and this is outside. So kind of the sum statement of the resting potential is right here in point number 5. There's an unequal distribution, so this contributes to the so-called electrical, the magic number of minus 70 millivolts. Again, not so important for what we're talking about here. Oops, there we go. So what's the difference between a resting potential and an action potential? Again, crucial question. The first chapter or the second chapter of the course deals with it, and you better know, essentially, if you want to do well, right? Simple as that. And I showed you to trigger an action potential in the larger view of a neuron before. So we have a little bit of a close-up in this case. It's actually the mechanism of the action potential here. So we've got, what do we have? We've got a whole lot of ions moving in and out. Basically, what you just saw there is information flow within a neuron. So how does one neuron communicate with another neuron, and how we move about, how we behave, how we think is based upon right here. We trigger an action potential, this movement of ions in and out, and this information flow is communicating to another neuron. And if you haven't noticed, hopefully it's not too choppy at home for you to see the different stages, but where this line is, it indicates the steps in an action potential. So what we have is threshold, depolarization, the actual potential itself, and we have hyperpolarization. So again, other fundamental concepts to learn about the workings of an action potential. Now the next animation we have is what we like to call the race. Basically, it's quite important in animal behavior. A neurophysiologist will want to ask the question, well, are we talking about myelinated neurons or unmyelinated neurons? This is just another concept to understand what myelin is here. Myelin is basically a fatty coating over neurons. They help the neuron do what it does, communicate this action potential at high speeds, for example. And that's all this particular tutorial is. You can see on the right-hand side, we have this jumping effect. And if we were actually to take a stopwatch from the beginning down, we would see that one wins out over another, right here. The student has the option to go to another tutorial to see more information about myelin, etc. And one of the more complex ones is the synapse. So again, the point of these early tutorials are to build upon some base knowledge, working from one to the next. So if we have, again, we can trigger an action potential here. We saw what happens within the particular neuron itself, but what happens to communicate with another neuron? Well, that's where the synapse comes into play. It's the functional contact between two neurons. Oops. So again, one of the key common features, the labeling, what a presynaptic neuron is, what a synaptic vesicle is, etc., etc. We can hide those labels. We can have a closer look at the different receptors. Again, we have lots of things happening here. And the students are able to have a not just looking at a static image in a textbook, but to see some practicalities of what's happening here with ion flow, with neurotransmitters, etc. So that's just to show you some of these neuroanimations. Excellent. Any questions about that, about the neuroanimations and things like that? For specific questions, how do you develop these things? Of course, Billy will jump in and ask such questions for sure. Just to summarize some of the features that I've been talking about and the overall rationale, what we can take away from these things are as follows. Basically, these tutorials taken together, so our static ones in our animations themselves, enhance student understanding of essential neuroscientific principles in our case. The animations in particular further help the student develop that mastery of these basic principles. What is an action potential? Things like that. These are becoming an indispensable tool for such course material like this in the biological realm, the neuroscientific realm, especially for those individualized learners. And of course, we've been just talking about psychology and neuroscience or behavioral neuroscience, but application goes well beyond this. It can be basically applies to any discipline, however creative the particular individual is. One of you, excellent. So that's all I have to say. Billy's going to go through a bit of information too. Great.
Thanks, Trevor. So, well, for my part, I'm going to talk about some options and selections we have done throughout this process, like decision making. Let's say why we don't use a QuickTime movie instead of a Flash, and then like also I talk a little bit about the challenges we face. So which is more about the path we have to go through during this, like to develop these the tutorial. So the first, the very first questions we ask ourselves is. Well, whether we are using 3D modeling or using Flash, I think, for 3D modeling, there are two types of 3D modeling. One is the rendering is on the client side, so it renders on your browser. And it, the bandwidth requirement is a lot less. But right now, the technology isn't mature to do a very high quality client side rendering. And also, there are lots of varieties of computer speed out there, and so this may not be the best option for us. And then also for 3D modeling, we can do rendering out on our machines, and then put it as a video. But that will make it a really linear kind of approach, and that is something we want to avoid. And maybe I just will touch a little bit about the challenge part also. Why we want to emphasize the interactive, to let the students involve, because what we are going to teach is something, a structure of a nerve, and then we are going to zoom in into I don't know how many times. So. One thing we for sure want the students to know when they are seeing those animation is at what part they are at and at what scale they are looking at the neurons. So that is the big questions for us. And adding all these rationales, we find that Flash is probably the best options for us. And then we have actually some external help during this process. We have Stevens who help us for a short time to give us some advice and consultations. And one thing we have to decide at that stage is whether we are putting every data or content into Flash or we are using more of a hybrid approach, have HTML as well as Flash. And we find that it is actually, well, because of the accessibility issues, well, students can enlarge the text, as simple as that, for HTML content rather than Flash content. So for those reasons, and though they can copy and paste those kind of the text, and we decide we use Flash as just for the animations, and will we leave the content part as the as this on the right hand side. And then, well, we have another decisions we need to make, which is whether we are making all these graphics into inside Flash, which at the end we will have all these graphics as a vector graphics, versus we are making some of these images outside Flash and have some more flexibilities, have a more sophisticated kind of a bitmap, more good-looking kind of images, and at the end we think we need to get the benefits from both. So actually, what you just see is a mix of both bitmap images and also vector graphics done in Flash and also in Photoshop. So the challenge we face is the first one. You may see when you click on the animation, let's say click on the term, on the right hand side the paragraph show up at the top, and that requires some kind of talking between the Flash and the HTML, and we are doing that using JavaScript. So that is already a challenge for us at the beginning. And then something is missing here, maybe during management of what? Management of this of the scope, I think. Yes, that may be a question. When we do the Flash animation, it gets more complex, and at a stage it is just too much to manage all these little tiny graphics and all these functions. So I think that poses a very big challenge for a project like that. We have to plan ahead and think about technically how we are going to manage all these little tiny clips. And also, one approach we did at the beginning is using action scripts, which is to move everything using a programming language in Flash. And that actually isn't it didn't turn out very good, because it turns out good on these machines, but at the end, when we look at it on other machines, because the CPU requirements, those actions are not synchronized the way we want, and actually we are showing the wrong concepts, things happens before what it should be. And so we have to move back and use more of the timeline approach for Flash. And security, right now we are having some we're password protecting these content, and that actually is a challenge for us also. So I think that's more of the technical part, and I hope I didn't lose everyone. Any questions about the technical part of or discussions from people in this room or from outside? Yes. Dimitri?
You said you were looking at the 3D modeling and Flash. Do you guys ever look
into HTML? VRML? Yes. We didn't look into that in details, but we at the beginning we did think about those, but first we don't have that skill set, and also it seems like, well, it is not the very popular kind of like on the client side, it isn't the most popular thing, plugins. So and when we look at like almost 95% of students of anyone on the internet has Flash plugins, I think, well, that kind of make a big statement, and that's one big reason we use Flash instead of using VRML. Yes. Yes.
Ever used any sort of like page hits or anything? The sort of gauge, how heavily used is
Tizzle?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So there was a question here as far as page stats. How many hits do we have? We did that last year, and there is quite a bit of hits, but that's not good enough right now. We're collecting better organized data on that. Good question, thanks.
Thanks. Yes.
Yeah. I was just wondering about the plans for sharing this. Do you have any? Do you talk to the nursing or any other? You mentioned this could be used in other areas.
Another good question regarding sharing, for example, nursing. Not really is the simple answer, just because we've been so focused on trying to get these certain processes done. So work in progress may never end because there's so many different concepts, tutorials that could be done. So, we're pretty open for sure, but no, nothing. We haven't discussed that in details.
So, this Lunch and Learn, like, maybe a starting point to show everyone in AU, like, we have free stuff and maybe a starting point.
Yeah.
Yes,
Jin-Fan?
Yeah,
Yes. So the question is, are the students required to have plugins? Yes, the students need to install the plugin. We do have some auto detections which can direct the students to download the plugin. So far, probably not on this page, but like on another page, we have that detections. So far we haven't got back like too much like questions from the students about the plugin, because it is actually quite common today.
This is space, the memory utilization for
yes.
Connections and things like that.
Yes. Well, these animation actually, is taking, the file size is actually quite small. It is even smaller than the static one, like the static pictures one. So, I think there are more reasons for the students to download the plugin and use these tutorial, the animated tutorial. Yes.
Will these work on slow dialogue?
Yes, actually we test it on dial-up as well as we test it on PDA, and it works in PDA, on Pocket PC also. So, yes.
Quite some time.
And it's still going on.
Like an hour or something, like,
Well, this one is, well, first, this is, well, we look at it as a course enhancement. So, well, the students are not required to go there and well, just look at the animated tutorials and then, like, answer some questions. But we are adding these as enhancements for the students to learn the concepts instead of reading the big piece of text to learn what is going on and try to visualize these ideas. So, well, back to the questions. It takes a long time to develop, and we are still we are still developing some more. So.
And Cheryl, looks like has a good question. It may be too early to ask, but how do students feel managing the tutorial, turning off labels, going to links? These are really good questions, and I don't have a good answer for you other than incorporating. We have an ongoing questionnaire that we're targeting these types of things. So this year I'm really going to push getting answers to those questions. Thanks for that.
More questions?
And I just wanted to point out too, it wasn't the point of today to give a lecture on the content of biology and neurochemistry and things like that, but just of course to demonstrate the types of things that can be done, and it just so happens that this particular course is quite well suited to do high-tech stuff with Flash, for sure. Anything else, Billy Bent? You can think.
Well, I think I have covered everything.
Great.
So,
good. Well, thanks everybody for listening and joining in out there in Illuminate Land. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, some hands raised.
Oh, too late. Should not. You pressed the wrong one.
Oh, okay. Okay. So.
Yeah. Good.